A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide by what his ears hear. With righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity the meek of earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
We've heard some wonderful stories this evening. St. Lydia's has such a rich history. I've only been around for a few weeks, but already I've heard so many stories about how God has touched people through this community. I'm honored to be called to serve as St. Lydia's moves into its second decade. And so my task, now that we've heard a little about St. Lydia's past, is to shift our attention to the to where God is calling us and what God has promised for us. As most of you know, at St. Lydia's, we celebrate Advent for 7 weeks instead of the usual four. That's why we have weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 candles there. And we do this not to just be different, but to help us remember that Advent is not just about preparing for Christmas. It's a separate special time to prepare for Christ's second coming and the healing of all creation. Our theme this Advent is a new creation, and each week we're reading two passages from Scripture. First, the passage from the book of Revelation that we read after lighting the candles up here, and then various passages from the book of Isaiah that anticipate Christ's advent and the new creation that God has promised. Today's reading from Isaiah is a royal oracle, a prophecy about a king. And the second half is a description of that king's ideal rule, and it's often called the peaceable kingdom. Next week, we're going to talk about judgment and justice and Christ's reign of righteousness, which the first half of the passage centers on. But today, I want to talk about that second half, the peaceable kingdom, and how all of us gathered here relate to that idealistic future. I brought some props. I think our children have left, but since we're all ex-babies, pass them around. Here you go. Here you go. These are three little sheep. Because our passage in Isaiah talks about lambs, which are baby sheep, and it talks about them living with wolves. They're really cute, huh? Unfortunately, wolves usually eat lambs. If you're a farmer who raises animals, you don't like wolves. Same thing for leopards and baby goats, lions and baby cows, poisonous snakes and baby humans. You want to keep them separated. Although, while writing this sermon, I did learn about little Tyke, a vegetarian lion, who was held up as a moral exemplar by both Seventh-day Creationists and the Animal Liberation Front. But he's probably the exception that proves the rule. Some animals are herbivores, and some animals are carnivores, and it's only good to mix them when you're rooting for the carnivores. So in short, Isaiah's vision of the peaceable kingdom is beautiful I long for that day. But it's not a world that you or I can create. We can't stop wolves from eating lambs. We can't force lions to survive on straw. This is a dream. A dream that is still far, far away from our present violent reality. When I read this passage from Isaiah, I'm reminded how far we are from our dreams. How far we are from God's dreams for us. There is a gap between God's vision for the world and our present reality. It doesn't take much to remind us of that. A few words. Poverty. Disease. Broken relationships. Pollution. War. Death. None of these things are part of God's will for us. Properly speaking, they are the result of sin, greed, and pride. It is hard to have a vision and to see it thwarted. It is challenging to live in the space between our dreams and our reality. It's an ambiguous space. It's not so much that we're uncertain about our hopes and dreams or the promises that God has made for us, but rather our lives are ambiguous because we have to continually negotiate compromises that don't live up to our ideals for ourselves or for our world. We have to make decisions that feel morally ambiguous. And if you feel like all your decisions are pure and correct and live up to your ideals, then I might suggest you try being a little more honest with yourself. The in-between times are full of shame, guilt, and fear. I wrote my MDiv thesis on Reinhold Niebuhr, who taught here in New York City at Union Theological Seminary. He was an advocate of something he called Christian realism, which is a way of thinking about how to live in the ambiguous place between the ideal and the real. Niebuhr said we can't be delusional about the world, we have to be realistic. Sometimes clinging too fiercely to your ideals can produce devastating pain and suffering. Good intentions do not always produce good results. But the Christian component of his realism meant that ideals were also important. It is sinful to give up hope too soon. God opens doors where we least expect them. There are always more possibilities than meet the eye. I think Niebuhr's right about that. But it does add another layer to the web of guilt and shame we may already feel for the choices we have made, because perhaps we should have held out longer. Perhaps there was another option. We so desperately long to have our decisions justified, verified, stamped with approval, saying that we did the right thing, we did as much as we could. It's not our fault the world is going to hell in a handbasket. This desire for approval of our actions is what Christianity, and especially its Lutheran variety, talks about as justification by works. And it's a losing game, friends. We can never do enough. The gospel, the good news, is that we are justified, approved, redeemed by faith alone. It's a really old idea, but I find we need it more than ever today, when we all have access to all of the world's problems and suffering through a quick internet search. It can be so overwhelming. It's easy to enter a downward spiral. We need to be set free, or we'll be paralyzed by guilt. And that's where the church steps in. As the body of Christ in the world, in these in-between, ambiguous times. We are here to witness to an alternative economy of salvation. And the word salvation just means healing, like a salve you'd apply to the skin. The Christian economy of salvation is one in which we are loved and healed, not because of how much we have done, but because of who we are. Children of God, marked and sealed with the cross of Christ forever. That human instrument of oppression, the cross, has become God's tool of liberation. God meets us in water, word, bread, and wine. You can run away from God, but God will never run away from you. Even in the face of death and the cross, Christ stayed with us. He has come to us and bound himself to us, so in, with, and through him, we are raised to new life. Our mission as a church is to proclaim God's forgiveness, to prevent paralysis, to free each other, so that we can live and serve and love and trust. You know, faith isn't about rational, cognitive assent to a series of propositions. Those propositions are attempts to make sense of faith. But faith is about trust. Faith is about your heart. Faith is about clinging to that promise that a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. That God will dwell with her people. That through Christ all things will be made new. That the peaceable kingdom is coming, whether or not we've done enough, and that we all have a seat at the table. Happy anniversary, St. Louis.